Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week I'm talking to Louise Post, best known from Veruca Salt, about her latest albums. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, let's review new music from Idols and Mary Timony.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
That is a track called Dancer from the new Idols album, Tank. It's the fifth studio album from this British band, Bristol, England, to be precise. You know, they came together in 2009. It took them a while to figure out what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. We had Joe Talbot, the lead singer of the band, on the show a couple of years ago. You know, and he was saying that they were, you know, finding an identity for the band was a struggle. It took a long time. They put out an EP in 2012, but their debut album, Brutalism, didn't surface until 2017, nearly a decade after they started playing together. Yeah. But it really established the band as a force to be reckoned with. It was inspired, if that's the correct word, when Joe's mother died after a long illness. It really focused him, he said, on what he wanted to do and what he wanted to say in his music. Some acclaimed records quickly followed. Joy as an Act of Resistance in 2018 started to develop a bigger following for the band. Ultramano in 2020, Crawler in 2021 came fast and furious, got a reputation as one of the best live bands of the last decade, certainly of the 21st century. Yeah. New album, producer, the news here is that they're once again working with Kenny Beats, who worked on Crawler. But the new face in the production team is Nigel Godrich of Radiohead fame. He's bringing some new touches to the music, which we are going to talk about in a minute. But before we do, let's play a track that I think is somewhat emblematic of what is somewhat of a new sound for the band. On the track called Grace from Idols' new album Tank on Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
That is Grace by Idols from album number 5, Tank. Going to come as a surprise, Greg, to some listeners who've been following Idols' career. I don't want to say it's a kinder, gentler Idols. It's not. Not once you begin to really listen. But there are slow songs. There are songs in which Joe, who is known to improvise at the mic in a stream of consciousness, almost like a rapper, you know, is singing kind of melodically. You know, but I think sometimes you listen to one moment in one song that sums up all the strengths of a band. And I'm so glad we bumped in with Dancer. It's not one of the newer songs. It's more one of the old Idols ragers. But listen to the way when he's talking about being on the dance floor with a partner and the cocoa butter is running down their neck and he says sweat. The word sweat comes up in several songs throughout the album. And each time that word is invested with a universe of meaning, you know. There are the vocalists who can take one word and put everything that they're about into the way that word is expressed. That's what Idols does well. Small moments. I think that Godrich's, you know, trademark piano loops and ambient backgrounds and kind of pulsating electronic percussion in place of roaring drums in spots is new territory for Idols, and it shows that they still have a lot of music to explore as a band. You know, Talbot is a dad. He is now thinking about what kind of a world his daughter is entering and leaving, hopefully one with no God, no king, as he rails at one point. And, you know, he's been through tough times, a broken romance, and he just feels the weight of the world, all the pain. When we talk to him, you could tell that. You can tell it on every other album. But he remains optimistic. He's been talking about, and he sings at one point about this concept of Freudenfreud, which is a German word meaning joy in joy, or the opposite of Schadenfreude. Like if you tripped on your way into the Sound Opinions recording studio and I laughed like Nelson on The Simpsons, right? Right? No. Don't take pleasure in the misfortunes of others. You know, be happy for the good things that happen to anyone, and the world's going to be a better place. Idols remains an optimistic band under all the rage.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of the band. I think they sort of stood that whole idea of the laddish intensity. You know, they're the lads, they're singing loud, they're in your face.
They're at the pub.
They're sort of macho guys. But then you're listening to the words and you're saying, they're using this sort of punch in your face intensity, but there's a lot of vulnerability in these songs. They're singing about, you know, Joe has gone on and on and said, you know, our big theme is love. And you go, really?
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, now you can hear it more on this record. I think it because of Godrich's production to a large extent, they've sort of let that aspect of them shine. You know, when you talk about, you know, the softer approach, the more vulnerable approach, Talbot's singing, I think Godrich really encouraged him to sing, as you said. The voice is more flexible. There's some fragility in these ballads, which I couldn't really say that about Joe's singing before. Everything was like, you know, I'm going to run you over with my intensity about, you know, we've got to change the world and we've got to change it for the better. Here these songs have a moodier vibe to them. You know, you still get the battering ram Idols and, you know, tracks like Hall & Oates. It feels like Hall & Oates. Dancer, as we played at the outset, but I love the more subtle stuff that they're doing here. This more atmospheric stuff. It's sort of you know, just when you think a band has sort of you know shown itself to the world what it is all about after four albums, here we get a nice little detour for this band that expands the possibilities for the future. To my mind, they're one of the best bands working right now. This album just continues that trend. When the darkness was my friend,
locked out in the rain again. You can't lose what you never won. We're all looking for the sun. We're all looking for the sun.
That is a little bit of a song called Looking for the Sun by Mary Timoney from her first solo album in more than a decade, but certainly not her first album, Greg. You know, I was thinking about Mary's place in the rock firmament. You really have to dig for a select few other bands in the last 30, 40 years of indie rock that have had as much longevity, influence, and diversity. You know, like Sonic Youth, before they broke, Yola Tango, and Mary has them beat. I count, and I'm probably wrong, I count 14 albums, 6 EPs, and at least 6 band identities. Born and raised in Washington, D.C., a graduate of Boston University, she was in those two cities at key points when their music scenes were exploding. D.C. with the post-punk proto-riot girl years, Boston with the indie rock heyday of the 80s, and Mary's never stopped since. She was on Sound Opinions back in 2011 as a member of that super group Wild Flag, and again with her band and X-Hex, but her other bands have included Autoclave, Helium. Now, this is a solo album. What is Mary giving us? The storied past will indicate if you know her work, but there are surprises, too. Let's play a track. We'll come back and give our review. This is the song No Thirds from Mary Timoney's new album, Untame the Tiger.
So I'll travel.
That is No Thirds from Mary Timoney, the new album, Untame the Tiger. It's the first song. It's one of the best songs she's ever written. Mm-hmm. I think it's just fantastic. As soon as I heard it, I go, this is wonderful. That driving, hypnotic beat, but mostly the guitar playing, those desert blues. I was thinking of those Tenerowen, you know?
Yeah.
Those nomadic bands in Africa with the guitar voicings. Her, as a guitar player, she has few peers. I mean, the last 30 years is just an incredible array of sounds and textures and tones, and perhaps doesn't get the recognition she deserves because she's not particularly flashy. You don't think about the 10-minute guitar solos that Mary Timoney plays because she doesn't do them. She serves the song. She's very much about what is the guitar doing within the context of this song. The guitar playing is at the center of this record. She wrote, she sang, she co-produced every song. Her guitar is at the center of just about everything here. It's a versatile, melodic instrument. The riffs, the fills, as memorable as her melodies. Mm-hmm. And the styles, as I mentioned, desert blues, but also psychedelia and looking for the sun. That Byrdesian country vibe in The Guest.
Come on in, you've been so true to me. You dig in the
Every song is a new tone, fitting what she's trying to say in the song, the arrangement and the genre that she's exploring in a particular song. So the guitar commentary is like a clinic in itself. You know, she's giving guitar lessons to some of the best players in the world. They go to Mary Timoney for, you know, guidance on how to play this instrument because she's just so wonderfully skilled at it. I would put her in a class with somebody like a Curtis Mayfield, you know, who knows how to, Steve Cropper, who knows exactly what to play when it's needed.
Richard Thompson.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's a great example. I think that's a key because she is a master of that kind of vaguely psychedelic folk rock. You know, at different points in her career, we've gotten prog, we've gotten sort of this ethereal, witchy drone. One of the things she does on guitar that I love, and there's much of it on this album, is, you know, I can't tell because I don't see videos of her in the studio, either the Ebo, that magnetic plectrum, or just the overdriven sound. What am I talking about? Think of, you know, David Bowie and Brian Eno's Heroes,
right.
Robert Fripp's guitar.
Yeah, right.
I just love that sound.
Right.
It sounds almost like a cello, you
right.
know. And there's a lot of that here. She's got some great co-producers, Dave Fridman of Flaming Lips and Mercury Rev fame, John Agnello of Dinosaur Jr., talk about a guitar band, right? And Joe Wong, you know, friend of Sound Opinions, great drummer, great musician, all of whom, you know, are contributing to make Mary sound as great as she has ever sounded. I can't, you know, Greg, what a great week this was, living with these two albums, Idols and Mary Timony. Because if there are 10 better records this year, it's going to be one of the best years in the history of popular music.
Yeah, no, this is a great record. And we should mention, you mentioned the drummer, Joe Wong, Dave Maddox of Fairport Convention is drumming on this record.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. The Richard Thompson connection, right? They're very much in keeping with what Mary's doing here.
You know, like everyone, like all of us, she was hit with the devastation of COVID, hit hard. And that was followed by a longtime romantic breakup and caring for her parents and seeing them leave. And so loneliness is the theme that really permeates this music. And the key line comes from that song, Dominoes. You really can't love without letting go.
Mm-hmm.
All of us move on. So I think her and Joe Talbot philosophically have much in common.
That is true. That's what we thought of the new albums by Idols and Mary Timony. But now we want to hear from you. What do you make of these records? Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. When we come back, we'll get into Jim's conversation with Louise Post. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. When I met you, you were talking like a madman.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, I had the pleasure of speaking with Chicago alt-rock legend Louise Post. Louise Post, probably best known as a guitarist, singer, and co-founder of the band Veruca Salt. But last year, she gave us her solo debut, the album Sleepwalker, released last June. And then later in the year, she followed that up with the Widow EP by a new band, Veils, V-E-Y-L-S. Welcome to Sound Opinions, Louise.
Thank you, Jim.
It's been entirely too long since we've caught up.
It really has. Too many years.
Too many years. Sitting in the back of Wishbone with Veruca Salt Mach 2, I think, was the last time we talked.
Oh, wow. Was that it?
Yeah. Post Nina, the album you did on your own. Maybe there was once after. Who knows? But, you know, I'm shocked that you have time to even talk to me. You're in the studio now, and you have been in the midst of this explosion of creativity between putting out Sleepwalker, one of my favorite albums last year, and the Veils EP, which I had gone under my radar until you mentioned it, and I've been deep in it ever since.
Well, thank you. And yes, I have been so busy. It's what has kept me afloat through the pandemic and pre-pandemic. I think in the early years of Veruca Salt reunited, as you know, in 2014, 2015, and released Ghost Notes and did a tour to support and did some extra touring beyond that. But the band then was on pause, just sort of indefinite pause, still is. No acrimony, nothing negative there. We're all, there's so much love in the gang, but life has taken us in different directions. And so I was really kind of at an impasse and spoke to my cohort, Nina, and said, like, listen, if we're not going to make a record, I got to go make one. And she's like, Godspeed, you know, and she wants to, but she just wasn't in the headspace and it wasn't the right time. So I had all these songs brewing. And I've been teaching music at my kid's school because she goes to a public school out here in LA, and there was no music program for these kindergartners. Wow. And that obviously was not going to stand with me, because the early music education I had, which wasn't much, but we sang in class and we sang at school and was in choirs. And from a very young age, that just, these children needed music. And, you know, it's been scientifically proven that music enhances and it's integral to early brain development. And
it helps with everything, math, with everything.
Yeah. So it's only logical that we would have music in our schools, but we did not. So I became like the de facto music teacher, and I was more scared to go like in front of 25 kindergartners than I was to play like, I don't know, where have I played in Chicago, kind of everywhere. It was funny. I had such stage fright. I didn't know how to deal with these kids, you know? But that took over for a while, and it was really lovely and really important to me to be connected to my kid at that early age in that way. And, you know, and then it became clear I needed to make more, you know, adult music and do what really was, I was bursting at the seams to make a solo record. And so I finally did it. I made a proper Louise Post solo record.
Well, and did I get this correct? You had like 3 albums worth of solo songs ready.
Yeah. I still do. But the problem is, Jim, they don't stop coming. So
right.
My voice memos, which we have going, have a couple thousand ideas in there. And they come to me, and they come in dreams, and they come as I'm driving. Yesterday, I wrote a song while driving in LA called Lift You Up, and it's beautiful. I hope I get to record it and finish it. I think I will, but I'm busy, and it's like there's not enough time to record all the music. That's the good news, right?
It's true. To be sitting around without ideas would be tragic. Given that you had all this material, and that this was going to be your first solo album, you know, what was the vision going into Sleepwalker? Because, I've been following you from the beginning, literally, Lounge Acts, you know, pre-anything, right? But this, and don't take this the wrong way, this seems to be the most adult Louise music we've ever gotten. It's you looking at the positives and negatives of relationships and digging deep. And I mean, we were all in that place during the pandemic, but I wonder if it's more than that.
Well, first, let me say, let's hope it's the most adult Louise we've ever gotten, because I've grown up a lot. And if it were, if it were anything but that, I think that it would be cause for concern. But
well, you know, it's not like anything else was not adult. I mean, yeah. I teach a class at Columbia College called Music and Media in Chicago. Right? And so we have a class on gospel, a class on the blues, a class on house music, and we do a class on alternative rock.
I love that.
And we play and discuss Seether.
Yes. You
know, and what is this song about? And they all kind of squirm in their seats. Was that was R-rated then, you know, and still is. And then when they have the freedom to say, well, I think it's about, you know, yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah.
I don't know that we're actually, you and I are on the same page about what it's about.
Well, it's about whatever they say it's about.
Well, sure, you know, exactly.
I've had vagina dentata as the answer. I've had, you know, the more general, you know, feminine power, you know, yeah.
I think we'll just let it be subjective, right? It's the best part of music.
Absolutely. Whatever yeah. they hear in it, as long as they're hearing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Can't fight the theater.
But adult, it seemed like you were taking stock on Sleepwalker.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of life has happened. And again, like, music kept me afloat. It has always been a lifeline for me. Like, it's always been a way to put rhyme and reason to sort of, you know, the rumblings, to the thing that's really usually the conflict is what gives birth to art in my life. Sometimes joy, just pure unadulterated joy, but it's always been this way, that I pick up my guitar, I play a chord, and whatever is on my mind comes tumbling out, and there it is. And I'm like, okay, you know, it has been revealed to me, whatever's going on at that moment. Yeah. And it's a vehicle to release, and it's catharsis. And, you know, it's really a manner of becoming more relieved, I guess, unburdening mm-hmm. myself in this case. I guess to me, sometimes, even though it's very, very much driven by my personal need, I truly deeply hope that it connects with other people on some meaningful level, like Cedar, for mm-hmm. example, or like any song that I have ever penned, that my band has ever released, that I've released on my own. It's personally so satisfying and rewarding when I hear from someone that a song has helped them through something in their life, whatever it may be, and whatever their interpretation of the song may have been. I just heard from a guy who said the song What About on Sleepwalker helped him through a divorce. And I wrote back and told him I was so glad that it resonated for him in whatever way it did. And he said it actually saved my marriage. And he told me his interpretation of it. And it was really like very far from where the song was, the place where the song was born.
Right, right.
But it hit him in this way that was really significant to him and really altered his life. And so what is, I don't know, more profound and more rewarding than that? What about the things you read to me? What about the buffalo? They were there, I told you so. What about the things you kept from me? What about the things you left? And so I guess what motivates me is not just, God, I have to get this off my plate, get this off my desk, get this off my chest, to quote one of our great lyricists of our time. But but I have to, like, I hope that this connects with somebody who will need to hear it. It's the other end. It's like knowing that someone is listening. So, like, the fact that you're listening, Jim, like, I'm not going to lie, it means a ton to me, because to have this record have resonated for you, to have you have been appreciating it, enjoying it, like, that's kind of the top of the mountain for me. I always, like, hoped that, you know, I was held you in high regard, and I always hoped that you would appreciate and enjoy whatever music Veruca Salt was releasing. And certainly the fact that my solo offering has been, you know, has made it onto your radar and made an impact is really very meaningful to me. Well, because of our roots, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But I made this point when I reviewed it, that I thought it would have gotten a lot more attention if it didn't come from Louise Post of Veruca Salt, if it just came from this new artist who sat down at age 50, whatever you are, being polite, you know, and just let this off her chest, as you said earlier, because she had to get it out. You know what I mean? It's a blessing and a curse. The online fandom community of Veruca is still strong, and it's as many young women, you know, younger than you and Nina were when you started out connecting, as those of us who'd been there since the alternative era. But I wonder, you know, if it's we take you for granted.
Interesting. You know what I mean? Well,
I think that's true of a lot of artists. I hadn't even listened to Peter Gabriel's record, and we're, you know, going to review it when we tape tomorrow. And it's just, I mean, the last couple were kind of a snooze, and I was like, damn, this one's a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it came out late in the year, and it flew under the radar for me, and it hadn't gotten the attention because, like, you know, Heritage Act, right?
Well, I mean, you're talking to someone who is like a lazy listener. I don't go out and seek out my favorite band's solo members' projects, their side projects. Like, if it happens to fly across my radar, I will listen and sometimes even like it more or in a different way than the band that it came from. But I don't necessarily seek out solo records of bands I love. But again, I'm kind of a lazy listener. And yeah, I think... When I heard you say that on Sound Opinions, I thought, I think he's right. I really do. Because I feel like this album is so incredibly strong. Well, I know it is. And I'm not, I just sort of assumed that Veruca Salt, like following, would en masse just jump on board to Sleepwalker and support me and be there for every moment of the ride. And what I learned about was this thing called rebranding. And I was like, oh, I guess that's what I'm doing. And, you know,
didn't we get into this general field of endeavor in the 90s to avoid ever having to learn words like that?
Yeah.
Branding, and, you know, socialing and all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's a brand new world. And it's sort of I'm learning. I mean, even, you know, to be fair, back then we just didn't call it that. But if someone veered off, like Stephen Malcolmus went off and made solo records from Pavement. Yeah. And Stephen Malcolmus doesn't have the career, even though he's made a ton of them. And he has certainly has a significant following as a solo artist. He doesn't fill a room like Pavement. You know, just how it is. So it's been an interesting journey. And I would love to, I mean, I'm on it now. That's the one thing that happened with this album is whether or not it fell under too many people's radar. It did. Let's say I entered the arena and I didn't realize I had an arena to enter because I thought that I was already there. And even I would be surprised if, like, I showed up to a venue on tour last summer and I'd see the marquee and it said Louise Post. And I'm like, oh, I think they got that wrong because I'm not used to shouldering the weight, carrying it. And yes, it's liberating. For sure. It's liberating in so many ways. It's so fun. And it's also a lot of pressure to step into that.
Well, and then how does the starting a whole other band, a whole other identity? Because the other thing I think you don't get enough credit for, I don't think you got enough credit for Sleepwalker. I don't think you get enough credit because you're a woman for shredding. You have always been a monster shredder. And Vels, I saw in one chat you did use the word desert rock. It is. It's kind of a stoner, doom, new metal got a bad, it became something else, right? But, you know, it goes to like Queens of the Stone Age turf.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be ferocious.
Well, thank you. And it is a really strong band and project that that I started before the pandemic. And in fact, we were so on fire and writing so many songs that we were ready to make a full record, but we began recording and then the pandemic hit. So we had four songs done. Five, if you include one we're going to release that's sort of didn't necessarily fit onto our EP. But we have a whole record to record. And then some, but pandemic hit and I was already writing other songs that were not necessarily for Veils, but clearly for me on a personal level for my solo record to be. And so I sidestepped. and we put that on the back burner. We ordered the vinyl. It took 10 months to come, you know, because everything was back ordered. And so it was on order anyway. So I really dove into, and we couldn't rehearse. So I dove into my solo stuff. And then it became really clear to me, like, oh, I need to release my first record before I come out with another band with another female lead vocal that starts with VE. It just seemed like,
there is that.
And so we put that on hold, and it was just time to release it this winter. And we released it with very little fanfare or social media, and had done a couple of videos. And so once again, I have, we have this Veils record to make as a follow-up to the EP that I released on my own indie label, Velveteen Records. And then we I have another solo record that I'm in the studio making right now. And I have this smoking band, aptly named The Smoke Show, that I played with last summer with my producer, Matt Drenick, who produced Sleepwalker, Nicole Fiorentino, I had played with before, and a few other really amazing players, a couple other amazing players. We are a five-person band, three guitars. Nobody needs three guitars, but I know. But I wanted to put the guitar down for a while and just like chill with the mic. And it was really fun. So hold on, another guitar player who could just rip some like Shutterbug solos. And anyway, I have so much music. There's not enough time, but it is super, super rewarding. And I guess the main thing that I face is like, how do I get people to hear it? How do I spread the word? Like, how do I make the splash that it deserves? And it's a different world than it was even when we released Ghost Notes.
When we get back, more of my conversation with Louise Post. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. This week, Jim is talking with alt-rock veteran and brand new solo artist Louise Post. Let's get back to their conversation.
It strikes me when I talk about the alternative rock era and that insane period when every major label talent scout descended in, you know, on Chicago with their Platinum Amex card, you know, and you know, it, people are taking Tim Rutili out to $400 dinners, you know.
Yes.
And he, you know, I
he deserves really it.
Enjoyed them. He deserved yeah. It. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it was such a crazy period, and it's the penultimate. It was the last gasp of that music industry, right? Because nu metal and Britney Christina come in next, and then it's not there anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And even on the superstar level, I mean, look at Taylor. She's had to completely fight that industry tooth and nail to mm-hmm. the point of re-recording her own music, right?
Yeah.
Good riddance. There was some fun, you know, those $400 dinners. I, you know, mm-hmm. urge overkill having Geffen buy them a case of champagne while they sit down to chat with me, you know. I mean, it's insane, right? Yeah. Insane. But having experienced that, and the younger audiences won't ever, and younger bands won't ever again, and the path is just different today and not nearly as clear. One of the things I think that's encouraging to see you making so much music is you don't seem to care about that at all. You're going to continue making music, and you're going to, I'm sure there's no bus anymore. You know, you're doing it the hard way again, like in the very earliest days of you know, Veruca traveling from Chicago to Madison.
Yeah, I was in a van on this tour, and I'm not, mm-hmm. and I was not a fan of the van. I'm just going to tell you.
See, I've been telling Cott forever that we got to take a Sound Opinions road trip in a van. So he really understands that. And he has like no desire to do it. And I mean, granted, I haven't done it since like 87, but I, you know, I always kind of enjoyed it. It was very Kerouac, except there's a goal. You know, you're on the road in the quest for kicks, but every night there's a gig. So it's sort of more crusade than wandering.
It is. That's a really beautiful way to put it. It is more crusade than wandering. Every night is, I heard Tom Petty say in an interview once that being on tour, all the focus is on the 2 hours that you're on stage. And then beyond that, winding down. And then the rest of it, ramping back up for those 2 hours. The whole reason yeah. that you're out there is for those 2 hours. Right. And the rest of the time, you have to, either there's elation after a show, there's excitement, or there's like, you know, misery because you feel like you had a bad show. But generally speaking, it's like, all right, you know, feel like excited, elated, and on some kind of dopamine high, serotonin high after the show. Mm-hmm. And then there's a crash, you sleep, right? And then next morning, up and at 'em. And there's certainly excitement, especially when you love what you're doing, which I do. But there's so much logistics, and I like to just turn it over to one person and have them tell me where to go and where to be. I don't want to have to make any decisions. And it's very weird to be back in a van after so many years of being in a bus. And even in 2015, we were in a bus. It wasn't like the most cost-effective thing to do, but there was no way we were going to get in a van. And so this was an interesting experiment and experience. We're going to be back out for a few makeup shows soon. I'm not sure when this is going to air, so I'm not sure what I should say. But we will be back in the van in April. And, you know, beyond that, I don't know. It is definitely a different animal, the industry, if you can call it that. It's so disjointed, and every man for himself or woman for herself. And it's really wild. I see people I know who've been established artists for their whole lives, like really like cobbling together some semblance of a career, composing on the side, making records, you know, just to be able to continue making music. And honestly, it's not the easier, softer way. It's really like throwing myself in the fire because it's what I do and it's who I am.
Yeah.
that's what I've come to understand and accept and appreciate. I've thought of taking different career paths at times. Like, I entertained going to nursing school, but then I got pregnant and I thought, there's no way I can do that right now. Mm. And then 2 years into motherhood, Nina reached out and wanted to get together. And then we revamped Veruca Salt. And then, you know, I've told you what it's been like since then. Very busy life. We also ski. So my family's always skiing. And it's a quality problem, but it's like there isn't really time to start up a whole other career. And this is what I do. So, like, to say no to this force that is sort of demanding to be heard and acknowledged, and these songs pouring through me. I'm sorry if that sounds pretentious. I think it does, just by nature, but that's how it feels. Like, they're pounding at the door and they need to be reckoned with and, you know, hammered out and like through me. And then it's my responsibility, as I see it, to release them to the world, whatever that means. And I don't see this stopping anytime soon. Like, I can't put the genie back in the bottle. I don't know how to cork it. And I there have been times when I haven't wanted to play music. After Veruca Salt 4, I wanted nothing to do with it, you know, in the era that you mentioned where Napster happened and all of that. And it just didn't feel like a welcoming environment for the music I was making. And I had no interest in changing to suit the times. And I felt like the industry was just a negative place for me, and I withdrew. And it was the right thing to do. And then at one point, my husband said to me, you know, he's also a guitar player and musician, and he said, our guitars are in the closet right now, and it's getting weird. Like, they're, it could 10 years could pass and they could still be in there. So we need to get them out.
Yeah. And what does your daughter think of all this?
You know, I think she's really proud of me, to be honest. Of course, I'm extremely uncool.
Does she ever admit that? Because my daughter, I mean, she's 27 now, right? But, you know, when Melody was in grade school and high school, I mean, like, the only time she gave a single care about dad is when, like, a friend would say, you know, pulling on her arm. Finally, she said, Dad, so-and-so wants to know if you really interviewed Kurt Cobain. Yeah, I did, right? That's, like, the only time, right? Otherwise, like, I've never gotten nothing. You know, which is good, but I think that's good because she should have her own life.
Exactly. I think part of the reason I didn't want to play music when she was a baby is because I didn't want it to be about me. I was so sick of it being about me. I just wanted to focus on someone else entirely. And I mean, that motherhood is the best place for that. Parenthood.
Yeah. And there ain't a choice either.
Yeah, there's no room for any self-reflection and, musings.
Come first.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And that was, like, exactly what I needed. And, yeah, she's really thoughtful about the songs. She's had me make changes on songs. She listens very thoughtfully. It reminds me of my dad. He used to listen very thoughtfully to any music I played for him, even though my four-track demos and everything. Even though he was a classical music buff, he loved listening to whatever I was doing and was very supportive. And she's the same way. She's like, you know, on God I Know, there was a lot of breath between the vocal lines. Sometimes it's an aesthetic choice one makes, a creative choice, whether to keep the breath in or not. And sometimes a breath, one singular breath, can add so much. It can be the buildup. It can be like the equivalent to a backwards crescendo guitar that builds up into a chorus. The breath can do the same thing, a backwards breath, but in some cases, a breath is just there and it catches your ear and it's like a little insect that won't go, a little buzzing mosquito or something. And I had been thinking about the breath, and she said, Mom, after listening, she said, I think you should lose the breath between the phrases. And I said, you know, that's exactly right. You're so right.
God, I know what it's like to wake up scared of the day ahead. God, I know what it's like to wanna stay in bed and so.
So the answer is your daughter is either going to be a critic or a producer or both.
Man, she's so multi-talented. I have no idea where she's going to land, really. Like, whatever her passion is, she will pursue it with aplomb. And she's extremely, like, competitive in a good way. She's motivated by the competition. If she could do whatever she wants, it's kind of amazing. She's a dancer, and she started a little late, and she's catching up. And she's just really a marvel. I can't believe this child of mine. I think we all must feel that way, you know?
There are times. The number of four-hour productions of Les Miserables I had to sit through to watch Melody be whore number four in a basement of a church on a folding chair. It became painful.
Oh, that's daddy love.
That's musical theater. Not my thing, but yeah. Well, okay, so a lot more music coming in 2024.
Yeah, most definitely. I can't seem to stop, and I'm happy about that. I can't say how much touring is going to happen. And, you know, I wouldn't have that any other way either, but I will continue recording and releasing, and to all who care to listen. And I'm just finding my way in this sort of brand new world. And yeah. And it's all good. I feel really blessed.
It's amazing how things, you know, there are still paths that something can just explode all of a sudden. You know, True Detective using a Handsome Family song that was 15 years old, you know. And then that Yellow Jackets needs to discover your music, right? Because they are doing so well with that 90s vibe, even when it's, you know, newer stuff, new stuff that's recent. I mean, they just got it, right? So they need some, like, Sleepwalker on Yellow Jackets.
I totally agree. They did they did use Seether, and that was nice.
Yeah.
That fit well in there. Juliet and I are friendly, so maybe I'll drop her a line and say, hey,
yeah,
you know, I know that the Licks are the best band in California, but.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's the 90s teen kids, and then there's the women struggling with all these things today. So that's where, you know, Seether versus Sleepwalker.
Yeah. I mean, I do think this record would resonate with a lot of people who have yet to hear it. And I believe well-placed sync would be potentially a real game changer. It certainly deserves to have more, you know, many more ears on it and to infiltrate more lives. That's what I believe. That sounds incredibly vain, but I just really believe in the record. And also, it's like, it's none of my business. It's sort of like, all I can do is release the record and move on. And then I get out of the way, you know? My connection with my fans is really important to me. And as I said, like, the people who've been with me from the beginning are diehards, and they are going to be there for whatever I put out. And those connections are so incredibly motivating for me, even though they are, you know, I can't tell you exactly like how many people that is, but it's way less than there actually are. And but I really deeply appreciate their commitment to me and their loyalty to me, and they make me want to make music as well. It's not just me in a void. I don't think I would do well in a void. I think I need to know that someone is waiting for more. So the guy who told me that What About helped him with his marriage, he wrote me a note saying, is there any more music coming out in 2024? And it was this hopeful, just a little note, but it was hopeful. And I was so, like, touched by that. And it's just one person, but, like, whether he's speaking for 2,000 or 200,000, whatever it is, like, I want to write for him, you know,
right.
Because he's waiting for more and he cares. So I was really, really moved this past year in 2023, by how much that connection matters, how deeply it touches me, and how music moves mountains and shapes lives, and certainly has shaped mine, and the profound honor of my own music, whether alone with Veruca Salt, whatever it is, has helped to shape others' lives. That never gets old to me. It's always stunning and magical.
Well said, Louise. That's the place to leave it. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
That wraps up my chat with Louise Post. But as always, we want to hear from you. Leave us a message on our website, soundopinions.org, with your thoughts about Louise's long and storied career or anything else. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Well, next week, Jim, I know you're a huge fan of karaoke bars.
Yeah.
You're there every weekend. but we are going to give our favorites, our personal favorites. If we had to get up there and sing a karaoke song, what would we pick?
Yeah, I'd pay cash money to see you do that.
Oh, I'm game. And we're going to have our production staff involved as well as many of our listeners, we hope. And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.